Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday.
Are we?
Monday.
Are we rolling along?
You are not rolling along.
I'm literally bleeding right now. So.
I'm rolling along. Paul is wearing, if you're not watching us on Twitch, if you're one of our radio listeners, he's wearing sunglasses.
LASIK, too.
He's wearing a hat, which is good because he took it off for half a second before the show out in the lobby, and he needs the hat.
I didn't want anyone to see me coming into work today.
He needs the hat.
Although someone did see me coming into work today, and I'm just a little dizzy, not going to lie, from this long trip that I've had. And Vanessa, on my way in, I hit my leg on something. That is why I'm bleeding right now. So hopefully, don't call HR on me. I can't help it. Like I got paper towels.
He is literally bleeding. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Today, BMAC is behind the mic for us. We appreciate him stepping in behind the glass for Sean Mapes. So you had an eventful week and a half-ish,
correct,
and you're now dead. Do you want to tell our folks what you did? Because every day we would just say, we hope Paul's still alive.
Right. I saw Not Santa was tweeting a couple of times debating whether or not I had been perhaps kidnapped or something along those lines. I was not kidnapped, but I went to a wedding up in Massachusetts for my godmother's daughter. I was named godfather of my own nephew, which was awesome.
Oh, that's cute.
Only authentic godfather at ESPN 97.5. I don't know if John Granato's an actual godfather. I am an actual godfather.
The godfather of Houston sports.
Now I can actually pretend.
And the peripheral, or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I can pretend to be Italian.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no, I can't. Nope. BMAC shaking his head. Okay. So I can't do that. But then after
cultural
that...
Cultural appropriation. Hello.
Yes. I went to a wedding in Puerto Rico that was supposed to take place in 2020, and it has been canceled twice since then. So
but
it was really cool.
But the couple stayed together.
They did.
They love.
I was at the frat party that they met at.
Aw, cute.
And as I said at the speech at the rehearsal dinner, I like to think that telling Steve, nice dude, is the reason that the wedding happened in the first place.
Wait, were you best man?
No, I was a groomsman, though.
You're a groomsman. It's lit. So you went to two weddings.
Two weddings.
And then you have another wedding this weekend.
I do.
So that means next Monday, Paul's going to be really dead.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to drink for the rest of the week.
That's a lie.
I don't think you're going to drink at the wedding.
Every time you say you're not going to drink, you come in and you're like, I got peer pressured.
We set the goals high.
I'm Paul Gallant. I got peer pressured.
I do.
Okay.
So sports, they're a thing.
So sports are a thing. And I'd like to get your thoughts on everything you missed. And we start with conference realignment, USC and UCLA to join the Big Ten.
That was something else.
Go.
Well, look, it's going to happen to every single conference eventually. We're probably going to see an entity separate from the NCAA that is going to be the real moneymakers of college football. When that happens, I don't know, but this isn't surprising. And, you know, I know that Notre Dame's on the phone. I know that University of Washington, that Oregon are waiting to see if Notre Dame doesn't join. Will they get invited to the Big Ten? This is just going to keep happening. It's disappointing. For the people that are college football purists, you're just going to see more and more of this, which means forced games between two teams that have no reason to play in one another.
No geographical affiliation, no history together, etc.
That's annoying, but it is what it is, you know? I've come to accept it. I like the NFL. I like professional sports better.
All right, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, go.
It's really bold to tweet about how you're doing something different by opting into $37 million, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he basically made himself sound like he was like a martyr.
Yeah, really?
Sometimes in life, you have to go against the grain.
He's described himself as a martyr, actually, Vanessa, which is really impressive.
It's disturbing.
Because he hasn't died yet. You know, you have to die to be a martyr. That's how it works. You can't not die. Anyway, speaking metaphorically, of course, Kevin Durant asking out. I saw today that Cristiano Ronaldo's asking out of the Manchester United. Another thing that we're just going to keep on seeing in sports, where someone's under contract. And they want to leave.
And so they just leave.
Yeah.
What else did you miss? The Astros are good.
They're really good, Vanessa. And I remember right before I left was when their stretch against all of those good teams started. That they were able to beat the Mets in two-game sweeps twice, to beat the Yankees in three of those five games where one of the games had just a flukish end and the other one went to extra innings makes me feel really good about this team that's now won, what, seven in a row? They got through the toughest stretch of the schedule. And I saw that New York team with my own eyes. We all saw it with our own eyes. That lineup that is supposedly so vaunted and so scary. I mean, I've seen better.
You've seen better for sure.
Yeah.
What else did you miss? I'm trying to think of if you missed anything else relevant.
How little Deshaun Watson talk was there? Well, I'm hoping that wasn't talked about a lot.
No, that's a good point, though, because I naively thought that it would be those, maybe take all those 3 days before we would have a decision by the Honorable Sue Robinson, and then maybe there would be an appeal or whatever Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero said could happen. We still don't know. I also thought it would be a Friday long weekend news dump. So I thought for sure it was going to be like Friday at 7 p.m. before the long weekend that the NFL would make this decision, quote unquote, make this decision, put it out there. I was wrong. We still don't know.
Still nothing. I guess that, you know, if you can move some new football news, because any publicity is good publicity, into the very boring month of July, then I guess you do it. I don't know. But it's interesting that nothing has been decided yet. I read something from Mike Florio today on Pro Football Talk that was talking about how the NFL Players Association really has to take a big stand here for Watson, and that the NFL Players Association, if it maybe has any sway whatsoever, could actually make things relatively favorable for Watson compared to what I think we're all expecting, which is a one-year suspension. But yeah, that's all we get is the occasional think piece by lawyer types.
What do you think happens?
I still think it's a year.
You still think it's a year?
I mean, don't you think it has to be a year?
I would think that it would have to be a year based on the punishments they've given other people.
But you seem, just that answer you gave right there, that doesn't sound like you're expecting it to happen.
Because the NFLPA is taking such a hard stand, and what did you just mention 3 minutes ago? Player empowerment.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
It's so gross, though, that that's where they're going to make their stand. You know, we're going to make our stand for the guy who was getting, oh, it wasn't 66 massages, it was hundreds. Oh, we're still going to take our stand here. We will die on this hill.
It's Paul Gallant wearing the sunglasses for me. The sunglasses.
Should I take them off?
No, I like them.
I'm honestly distracted. I cannot see Brian McDonald through the glass. I have no idea where he is. I just saw a head shaking. Brian, are you there?
I am here. You got a kind of a weekend of Bernie's look going on, which is fitting since you almost died several times.
That is 100% true. Cool. All right. Well, I guess I'll have to wear them the rest of the show.
Well, we have a familiar face returning to town and somebody that will take on the Astros.
Our guy. Yeah.
Zach Greinke.
Captain Deadpan.
Zach Greinke was really interesting to cover when I was with one of the local news stations here in Houston, because he was the must interview after the game. He was. But you knew you weren't going to get anything out of him. Like, he was a must interview
wow.
because it was pure entertainment. But he wasn't going to say anything.
So you would have to think up a question that would get him to say anything.
You would try.
Okay.
But it wouldn't work.
What was the worst attempt that you made to get Zach Greinke to say something?
I think anything involving emotion. Anything
okay.
where you're like, well, what did it feel like? And you have the Mark Bermans of the world, and you have the fellow local people that are like, well, what was it like to see blah, blah? And he's like, it was fine. So we're going to be playing some of that audio for you throughout the day.
Awesome. I like that.
The Astros were very, very good this past weekend. I know that you unplugged, which I love that you did on vacation and you're on your mini travels. But the Astros did a great job this weekend. Their pitching staff was phenomenal. The bullpen obviously was well rested. They were not gassed due to that. Couple walk-offs.
I mean, let's talk about yesterday, too. I mean, you're down 5-0 early. I remember I was on the runway back at Bush International waiting to get off the plane. And I saw that John McClain tweet out something along the lines of, the Astros are down 5-0. The hitting's not getting it done. Today is the perfect day to watch Elvis. And then, of course, they came back and won. And I know a couple of people who were actually at the game yesterday. This offense, it is still not quite what it was in the past. But I like that at least over the last couple of weeks, we have seen Yordan Alvarez continuing to be, I would say, an MVP candidate at this point in time, with how good he's been. And then on top of that, too, when you take a look at that And you also factor in that the guy that I was hoping would hit better over that tough stretch that they were playing, Alex Bregman, he's at least hitting for contact. A couple home runs. You have a couple of doubles. I would like to see a little bit more slugging. But this lineup, I like seeing Jeremy Peña in the number two spot. I feel like we could continue to see it improve. And yeah, you're right, as you have said. It's the obvious thing to say now. Wow, the Astros offense is doing pretty well. Wow, the Astros are doing pretty well. I expect it to continue. I mean, but they wrap up the first half of the year playing a bunch of losers. You know, 12 games against the AL West dregs, the Royals right now. It's a pretty good time for them. And I think it's at some point, because I know we don't have a lot of time left in the segment, I want to unpack why I feel like there's a very good chance that they could overtake New York as the number one seed in the American
League. This is a compelling
League.
Argument. You said this to me before the show, and you definitely want to stick around for that because it's interesting for sure. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to dive more into the Astros' wins this week and what it could mean for October, what it could mean, as Paul kind of alluded to, for the standings and where they sit in baseball. But first, I want to talk to you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, listen to me, grab your phone. It's usually a hassle to shop for home insurance, but it doesn't have to be thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text. So take your phone, text the word money to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. You send that back and you get the full quote within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. Their average customer from last year saves over $870 on home insurance. So again, I know it's a hassle to shop for it, but it doesn't have to be. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
75 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Jordan drives one deep right field. An explosion off his bat sets off the 4th of July celebration. Astros' biggest come-from-behind victory of the season. They win it 7-6. Back-to-back days with a walk-off home run.
Air Jordan. Jordan Alvarez getting it done as the Astros walk it off and beat the Angels 7-6 yesterday. It was, per Twitter, a 444-foot homer.
Oh.
If that's true, that's pretty crazy. He wears number 44, 4th of July.
Damn.
Hello. Numbers never lie.
Wow.
We loved this. And here's the thing. I had a feeling that they were going to be able to get it done today. You never know who's going to do it in the Astros lineup. Is it going to be Altuve? Is it going to be Peña like it was the day before? Of course, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah.
Seriously, this is a team that when you look at the top of the order right now, with Altuve hitting the way he's hitting, with Peña especially hitting the way that he's been hitting, and it's great to see him healthy again. And then, of course, Jordan Alvarez. The top of that order is great. It's just a matter of, okay, as the order continues, can we continue to see some production out of Alex Bregman? We have seen it, of course, out of Jake Meyer since he has returned, which has been a nice little shot in the arm for a team that was getting very inconsistent production in center field. And I mean, the theme of the series, theme of the season, all to this point, has been that the starting pitching, for the most part, is taking care of things. Now, maybe a little bit different for one Jake Odorizzi yesterday. I saw Joel Blake making some funny tweets about it. I'm looking forward to his thoughts on the Killer Bees.
He is not an Odorizzi fan, is he?
No, he's not. He is not. It was a pretty interesting tweet that he had there. Like, what's the excuse going to be this time for Jake Odorizzi? Is it going to be the weather? Is it going to be the air conditioning?
I think I'm personally not worried about him right now because I think that could be rust.
Mm.
I think it was his first game back.
Okay.
Was it not?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's his first game back, and I was thinking to myself the same thing. It's just a one-game thing, probably. But it also, we've seen with Odorizzi, there are moments of inconsistency. And when things are not working out for him, we obviously saw the first couple of starts of the season where it was bad to the point where I think we all wanted to kind of set him adrift. But, you know, as we continue to wait and wait and wait and wait for the return of another Astros pitcher in Lance McCullers, we have to accept the fact that this is a guy that you're going to see out there, and you just just take solace in the fact that the Astros are not playing very many good teams the rest of the way.
And the Astros are lucky that they have so many guys on that roster that would be an ace on any other team.
That's true. I mean, if McCullers is healthy, he has ace stuff. The problem is the just consistency with which he stays healthy. I think you could make a case for sometimes with Luis Garcia. Verlander is obviously Verlander. So we'll see. If this continues over the course of the year, I just think at this point, based off of the long body of work, you kind of have to say, yeah, it's probably going to continue. This starting rotation's been pretty damn good this year. And even with a Odorizzi start messing things up, you still feel pretty good about it.
Absolutely. We felt pretty good the day before. Jeremy Peña hitting a walk-off to win 4-2. This was the second walk-off this year, of course, for the rookie. And this is what it sounded like.
Peña hits one to center field. Back goes Trout. Still going back. He's at the wall. Ball game over! Two walk-off home runs to center field in Peña's rookie season. The Astros win it 4-2 with Jeremy Peña hitting two home runs. Walking it off on a Sunday against the Angels for the sweep.
That young man is electric.
It was his first multi-home run game. It was his second walk-off. I love his energy, and I'm not one of those people that's going to say Carlos Correa who? But
you can now.
But, man, he's showing a lot of freaking potential.
It's easy to say Carlos Correa who when you take a look at what you have to pay them. And I'm sure that Jim Crane and James Click are 100% saying that because they look incredibly intelligent with letting him walk. Something I would have told them not to do. No. I don't know that I should believe anything that's being said about Jeremy Peña's bat. All I know is the guy's probably a good fielder, but then he comes in and, my God, the kid has not been scared at all to this point. Now, I don't know if he's going to win Rookie of the Year because of what Julio Rodriguez is doing in Seattle right now, but my goodness. And you know, it was interesting hearing on that call. You know, if Mike Trout's so good, why didn't he stop the home run? Makes you think.
Yeah, Mike Trout was dreadful against the Astros this series. Awful.
Mike Trout, what is happening?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, we need a little Brian Windhorst conspiracy theory on all of this. But Jeremy Peña did talk about that walk-off and really just, you know, not only is he impressive as a player, this sounds corny, but when you hear him interview, you're like, this could be one of the faces. This could be one of the future faces of the league. Here's Jeremy.
For sure. I mean, it's definitely up there. You know, that's my first multi-homer game. And to end that on a walk-off, it's unreal.
Don't you just want to go, That was on if this was the best day of his career, which I would contend probably would be yes so far. 24 years old, really great with the media, obviously, you know, handsome and a really, really good baseball player and somebody that had huge shoes to fill. And so far has stepped up.
I just like hearing you say that you not only would go to him at the same time, you feel like he's handsome. So it's like a healthy balance.
Hold on. He is objectively handsome.
Objectively.
I feel like that was just kind of thrown in there, trying to be under the radar.
No.
The ball picked up on
immediately. Here's what I mean. In order to be the face of a league, it helps to be good looking.
Sure.
It does. Tom Brady, your Lord and Savior.
Ben Roethlisberger, right.
Stop. If Tom Brady is not good looking.
Eli Manning, obviously.
Hey, you can convince yourself anybody's good looking. But
Peyton Manning, right.
Yeah.
great forehead.
Great. You could land a plane on it. But yeah, it was a great game for Jeremy Peña. Obviously a huge moment. And the day before, another walk-off. The sign of a good team, I think, in baseball sometimes can be who can step up, which team has a deep enough roster to where you know you have a shot in those moments. And every time the Astros are down, it's the final inning, et cetera, et cetera. You know that they have a shot.
Yeah, I feel closer to where I felt last year and years before where this team would be down and you're like, yep, it's still a game. Someone might be telling you to go watch Elvis. It's still a game.
Who said to watch Elvis?
I'm telling you. John McClane tweeting that out yesterday.
I didn't see that. I missed that one.
The Astros rally happened right after that. And I from what I've heard about the Elvis movie, the guy who plays Elvis is great, but the rest of the movie kind of struggles.
That's the Austin Butler guy, right?
Yeah.
Did they make him fat for it at all?
They did. There's a meme that's been going around of him wearing his white suit, and it looks like he's been having his trademark fried peanut butter sandwiches, which was a thing.
Where was his last concert?
Good question. I don't know. Indianapolis?
Market Square Arena in Indianapolis, baby. Oh, the last song he sang was I Can't Help Falling.
So Indianapolis killed him.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
I'm sure, though, that before he went, that Elvis had a lot of the fine shrimp at St. Elmo's, the jumbo shrimp. He just probably rolled it around in peanut butter. I mean, maybe, but whatever I'm assuming he ate at the end. He was obsessed with peanut butter.
He was. He used to eat peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
I mean, that's pretty good.
But they're really good.
But what happens if you fry the sandwich after?
Oh. And you also put bacon on it.
Ooh. Wait, did he put bacon on it?
Yeah, he put bacon on it, too.
I mean, he kind of had a point, right? I can sort of see why things didn't go so well. The problem was he was doing so much of the...
Which drug was he on? Was it cocaine?
Well, he was just doing a lot of it. I actually read something recently. The reason Elvis died wasn't because of an overdose or anything like that. They think it's because it was just progressive not being able to go because opiates basically stop you up. So he was eating horribly, and because of the drugs that he was taking, his intestines were like just not moving any food. It was just like all just hanging
That's
out.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I always assumed it was an overdose, and I've been assuming wrong.
Right. No, he was just he just got real fat. and it wouldn't go anywhere.
R.I.P. Elvis. Are we at the point with Elvis to where, because he died in what, the 80s?
Oh, yeah, we can cancel him, Vanessa.
No,
I know where you're going with this.
Not even canceling. No, it's just like, who even remembers Elvis? Like, people 50 and older?
Yeah, definitely. It would have to be that.
I mean, he's like a mythical figure. Like, when are we going to stop talking about Elvis? And I like Elvis, but...
I mean, this movie is the first time in a really long time that I've even thought of Elvis. Because I know there's a couple of songs that he does that I like.
Yeah.
But...
We can't go on together.
But you don't think about the phenomenon that he was, at least to the same degree, unless you were probably there for it. Because, I mean, now they showed it in the trailer. This fascinates me. What is it with random musicians being able to elicit high-pitched screaming from late teenage girls? What is that all about? Because that is something, it has been with the Beatles, it has been with Elvis, it has been with Justin Bieber, it has been with the Backstreet Boys, it has been with everyone. That has been the one constant throughout all of music, is that heart-throbby musicians are going to get some of their fans, noticeably the
female
girls,
demographic.
Well, and we're not even talking like about adults to go, what is all about? I don't know. But these are the questions that we need answered.
5806 says he died in 1977. Rip Elvis. Rest in peace. It's Zach Greinke Day. It's Zach Greinke Day. It's the first time Zach Greinke is going to pitch against the Astros since he joined the Royals.
Zach Greinke against the Astros. It's weird, right? How do we feel about Zach Greinke? Because this is not a guy that the Astros won a title with. This is a guy who definitely helped you along the way. And of course, we're not talking about someone who moved on the way that Cole Hamels. Garrett Cole did. I'm thinking about Cole Hamels and getting triggered by other random people with Cole in their name that Astros fans are supposed to dislike, because didn't Cole Hamels say, oh, I'd never go to Houston, and like stuck with the Texas Rangers?
Right.
Nice job, dude. Anyway, back to Garrett Cole. Okay, Garrett Cole's like rock bottom as far as ex-Astros. George Springer is at the top. I think we all love George
Springer
still.
Everybody loves Springer.
Zach Greinke, I mean, there were some good moments, but he did, on his way out, he did say he wasn't the biggest fan of Houston. He did say, like, as a city, like, to walk, travel around.
And his media availability was always interesting. Here's a quote from Zach Greinke.
Going into Game 7, winner take all here tomorrow night.
Yeah, going to be a big game.
Alex said it's going to be a fun game. Is that how you see it?
I hope so.
Do you have any nerves or any kind of emotions right now starting a big game tomorrow?
A little excited about it at the moment, but we'll see.
So when you work in local news, and it's that you're supposed to, you want the emotional answers. You don't want just the, here's what I plan on doing as a pitcher. You want the, man, I'm excited to see the flag on the field before the game, to see my family in the stands, to know that this is game 7. You dream about this since you're a kid. That's what you want. That's why the Matt Musils, who you heard, the Mark Bermans, that's why they ask those questions. Zach Greinke would never give He would never give.
It's funny when that happens, too, though, because I think you're just predispositioned to laugh, even if it's not very funny at first. Because he was so short to the point with all those questions that he's being asked about his emotions. You would think that they would just give up, but then to them it becomes like a game. Yeah.
A game. You and I have talked about on the show, media people laughing at athletes that are not actually funny is a pandemic. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our NFL countdown segment continues. Who is going to be the first young quarterback to win a Super Bowl among four different players? We'll give you the names and we want your opinion next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
You haven't heard our intro yet, have you?
Oh, we are so professional now. Let's go. Dap! Dap!
Says the guy with sunglasses because he's hungover.
Not
we
anymore.
We are very professional.
Play some NFL primetime music, baby. That is like cocaine. I am ready to go.
65.
Unlike Elvis.
R.I.P. 65 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. And you and I, listen, we love baseball. I am employed, so I love baseball. We like the Rockets.
I like baseball.
But we love the NFL. This is an NFL-heavy show. We've said that from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's been the brand from the beginning. Shout out to Jason Barrett, our PD. It's an NFL show. So we love the NFL. And we're very, very Astros-heavy, but we love football. So,
we like
65
to make
days.
Astros topics into football topics.
Yeah. which quarterback is Jeremy Pena the most like? PFF asked a question on Twitter, and some of these questions that you can tell people do for engagement, some of them are just dumb. But I actually liked this one. And BMAC, we want your take on this too, so get ready. Who wins a ring first out of these young quarterbacks? Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, or Lamar Jackson? Now, obviously, these are four young quarterbacks with a lot of potential. We know Joe Burrow almost, you know, got close to winning a Super Bowl. He went to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert has some new weapons around him. Josh Allen was a coin flip away from making it further. And then Lamar Jackson, man, they had so many injuries last year that I don't think we've gotten to see that full team's potential and what the support can help do for him. So, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Who wins a Super Bowl first? Let us know. 713-780-3776.
Everyone's going to say Josh Allen. I'm assuming that if there was a poll that Josh Allen was the number one, because the Bills are the Super Bowl favorites, even though the Rams are favored to beat him by one game in the season opener. But just for the sake of zagging, I have a couple of concerns about Buffalo going into the year. I am not convinced that they are all of a sudden going to be able to run the football. They struggled to run the football last year. And I am also not convinced that they're going to be able to stop the run, as we saw in that first game that they played against the Patriots, as we saw in that game against the Colts. They are a very good team, but if a game is played in a way that they can't hang around in, the kind of game where Josh Allen gets a couple of three and outs and the other team gets 8-minute possessions, 9-minute possessions in rapid succession or something like that, I feel like the Bills, by being the favorites this year,
are automatically going to be a letdown.
Yeah. This was an 11-6 team last year, right? I mean, this was a team that played well, but it was the two games that they played against New England down the stretch, which a lot of people are like, wow, that was awesome. Well, how good is New England? You know, I mean, that Patriots team that we saw in the wild card round of the playoffs, they didn't look like they belonged to the playoffs. And okay, yeah, that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, it went down to the wire, but I guess I'm not as, hey, the Bills are way above everybody. Josh Allen is way above everybody. So, for the sake of being different, I will say Lamar Jackson because of all the injuries that that team dealt with last year, and yet they still were hanging in there at the end.
This is a great question. Now, I've said that I would love to see the Bills win the Super Bowl, and that I absolutely think they can. Here's what some of our texters say. 8400 says Herbert. The defense solidified it. Yeah, their defense got a lot better. 8755, Joe Burrow has that it factor. Next, it would be Josh Allen. Josh Allen still needs to get over that hump. He's been having good players surrounding him. The addition, Von Miller, of course, will not hurt on defense for the Bills, so I look forward to seeing what they can do. I say Josh Allen. B-Mac behind the glass.
Well, Josh Allen certainly is the most handsome, so I think that gives him a little bit of an advantage. But I would have to go with Justin Herbert. I love his weapons, and I love their coach with the new philosophy of basically never punting. I think kind of that mindset's going to pay dividends down the stretch. But you got Keenan Allen, you got Mike Williams, you got Austin Eckler. He's got a lot of weapons, and he's only, what, like 24? So
you said Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
I love that.
It doesn't matter who is playing for that organization. They are cursed. This is the only team in the NFL that I feel like is cursed. Every single time they are in a big-time spot, you can bet on it. They will puke it up in such a hysterical way, and you will wonder, wait a second, how did this happen when they had that 14-2 team back in 2006? How does this continuously happen to San Diego, now L.A.? I think Herbert's very good. I feel like we're going to be talking about Justin Herbert, though, the same way that we talked about Matt Stafford.
Man. Marty Schottenheimer's gone.
Exactly, and they're still cursed, B-Mac. Like, it was the same stuff there with
Justin Herbert also has to play in the AFC West.
Ooh, that's not fun.
So that's what makes it difficult, I think, for him.
I think we're going to be looking at him the same way that we looked at Matt Stafford before he got traded to the Rams, where we're like, he's really good, and he's got no help around him, and he's stuck in this bad organization. But they have cool uniforms, at least, so there's that.
Young quarterbacks, got a lot of them in the NFL. The AFC is definitely competitive. And we want you guys' opinion. Who do you think out of those? Yes, 8400 says, come on, Paul, the only cursed team is the Lions. The Lions could be cursed. A lot of people may say the Texans are cursed. But I look forward to seeing what these young quarterbacks can do. I think with Lamar Jackson, again, so many injuries last year on the Ravens. I think that he's has that contract ahead of him. Now, sometimes media narratives can be BS, but remember his mom is his agent. So what a lot of people say is he wants to win a Super Bowl and prove that he's worthy of that mega, mega contract before he gets it. Do you buy that? Do you think that he plays his heart out particularly for that new mega contract?
I sometimes you see a player play better because of contract incentives, but I feel like that's generally something that is a basketball thing where we're looking at guys trying to get specific numbers and milestones. I don't think it's quite as easy to do that in football. And I mean, I'm just surprised the Ravens are letting it come to this. Because remember what happened with Joe Flacco, who they were way less sold on. When Flacco, his contract year came, they won the Super Bowl that year. And Flacco played four games in a row in the playoffs where he was just out of his mind. He was really, really good in that stretch. Starting with that awesome double overtime game against the Denver Broncos where he throws a touchdown pass to Jacoby Jones, who actually didn't fumble it this time and takes it in for six. I think that where Jackson's at just gives him the best situation too. I know that the AFC East is definitely down. Like the Patriots aren't good the same way they used to be. The Dolphins, I'm not sold on them. The Jets, like maybe they're up and coming. But I think that where Baltimore is now, a Steelers team that is not going to be the same without Ben Roethlisberger under center, even with Ben Roethlisberger's dead husk of an arm out there, like, are you sold on Pickett? Are you who's still not even first on the depth chart, even though he was a first round pick? Cleveland right now, you have no idea what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And Cincinnati, I think they were really good last year, but I almost feel like what they were able to accomplish happened a year earlier than you would expect, so that they might come back a year before they return to being the Bengals team that we've seen over the, just the last couple
months.
They made
a lot of O-line improvements. They definitely, look to protect Joe Burrow. But certainly a lot of young, exciting quarterbacks in this league. I committed a crime this segment. We're supposed to start with the jersey number.
Oh, shoot. 65. Well, who can forget Texans legend Greg Mance?
There you go.
He wore 65, right?
I don't know. You're sure. The jersey guy.
Who's gonna call you out on that?
Well, I didn't know. Listen, I've been gone for such a long time. I had no idea what day we were on. So
65. Or anybody, feel free to chime in.
I doubt you could find anyone better than Greg Mance wearing number 65. And if you did, you're a liar.
Who wears number 65?
I'm Paul Gallant, the numbers guy. Come on, guys.
Greg Mance. 65. There was
he was 65 with the Texans, there so you go. I got that right.
Happy Greg Mance Day.
What's wrong
there was
with
one
me,
day,
that's a brain.
Josh Beard was filling in for you, and he tried to go basketball.
Oh.
He tried to go with Luca.
Oh,
and
of course
I said,
he did.
It's God. Football.
No.
And he was like, well, do you make the rules? I said, I actually do. For the segment.
Do not let him even have a second with Luka Doncic talk.
No.
Because it's like Butters from South Park with anything to sell an NFT. You're screwed. As soon as he opens his mouth, it just won't stop ever.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking a little bit more about the NFL, a massive contract that as of a few minutes ago is official, plus what you missed over the weekend, the long weekend. That's next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So we usually do, in case you missed it, Monday. Since today, for all intents and purposes, is basically a Monday, we're going to do a little in case you missed it Tuesday. I'll start out with the fact that Paul looks like he's going to die after two weddings, a trip to Boston, a trip to Puerto Rico. And I'm guessing you consumed a few adult beverages on this trip.
There wasn't a day where I didn't. And normally during the week, I don't. So, the vocal cords, they have been stretched with a lot of booze and a lot of, it is legal down there. A little puff puff, a little oski woski.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, look, it's legal.
In Puerto Rico?
It is legal in Puerto Rico. Well, I mean, if it isn't, they don't care, I guess. That is what I'm trying to say.
So how many drinks a day do you guess you had?
I'm going to guess 8.
Oh, my God.
Is that a lot? If you stretch it out over
if you stretch
12
it out over a day,
to 16 hours.
Oh, that's not a lot if you stretch it out that much.
Plus, they have very small beers in Puerto Rico called Medalla, and they are essentially very small cans. They are, I want to say, 10-ounce cans as opposed to your routine 12-ounce cans or 12-ounce bottles. And it is exceptionally light to the point where you don't feel anything while you're drinking it. But they also have these things called gasolina, which you can get from a gas station.
That's a song, right? Gasolina.
Yeah.
But I got back to you.
Got it.
Thank you.
It has rum and tequila in it. I found that out after drinking it. And it comes to you like a Capri Sun. Remember those things that you might have had maybe when you were going to school?
These that would little, scare me.
They're essentially like the 90s version of juice boxes.
Oh, I know
boxes.
Capri Sun.
Well, there are some probably, though, who didn't have them growing up going to school. They're listening right now. It was essentially like a fruit box, but it was a cool fruit box. And then they had these really weird 90s commercials. Well, yeah, it was a Capri Sun, but with booze in it. And those were great, but they did not feel good afterwards.
Those are dangerous, too, I'm sure. All right, in case you missed it, our first official item. Brian Windhorst, did you see this conspiracy theory that he had about Utah? This was a couple of hours before the Rudy Gobert trade news broke. So he holds court on First Take. It's like a 2-minute conspiracy theory session. His mannerisms were as if he were talking about the JFK assassination. And the premise was, what's happening in Utah? Pay attention to what's happening in Utah. He quickly got memed and it became the meme of the weekend.
It's very strange that this blew up the way that it did. Is it because the Rudy Gobert trade and contract happened after the fact? Because to me, it's rather forgettable. He's just like, what do you think's going on?
So you didn't think it was funny. I think it was his delivery.
I guess I only picked up on it because of the way that it blew up. And I was just, I figured he was going to say something racist along the way or something crazy. You know, I figured, oh, he said something really dumb or he said something really bad. Or maybe he said something really funny. So, no, he just captivated the attention of First Take for 2 minutes, which is, by the way, what like, the entire premise of that show is at all times.
Right.
But I guess it's because he knew what was happening and then the trade happened. And that trade is ridiculous. And even worse.
Oh, he took the glasses off.
Because now I'm just trying to impersonate Brian Windhorst by taking the glasses on and off. Because I think it was all his like, hand gestures was really the reason that people were so fascinated by it. Rudy Gobert can't play in the playoffs. What the hell were they doing? That is a stupid-ass trade. Oh, wow, we're Minnesota. We have Karl Anthony Towns, the big man who refuses to play underneath the basket. And we have Rudy Gobert, who can't play offense. That's going to work. And by the way, he's one of the most despised players across all of basketball. I don't know if it was unfairly because of COVID-19, he was the first one to get it, but that is a terrible trade.
Yeah, that screwed him.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone likes him. Also, he's French, so let's be honest. The French don't exactly gel with other people. So I can't believe
racist,
that trade happened.
Paul.
No, I'm French-Canadian. I can say it. You
are.
Yeah.
You're French. I thought you were Irish.
Mostly Irish, but yes. Yeah,
you're everything.
That's why.
Paul's anything and everything depending on the day.
I am multicultural.
But.
That was right.
I'm actually a mutt. So I can say that.
Oh, you can say that.
Yeah.
The way you said it, it sounds like you've read Harry Potter books, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, so there's like a racist term in them in that called mudblood. It's for a wizard or a witch that's born without wizard or witch parents.
My sister was into Harry Potter. So is Harry Potter a mudblood?
No. Harry Potter is half blood because his mom is a mudblood.
Hence why he was the half-blood prince.
I'm not even sure I remember
the name of the book.
I think Snape was the half-blood prince or something like that. But Hermione Granger, mudblood.
Yeah, okay. Learn something. I'm going to call somebody
It's in the magic community too.
Mudblooded today. The Usher meme ruled the weekend as well. In case you missed it, he had a Tiny Desk concert, which is an NPR series. And it was really good. These Tiny Desk concerts are basically acoustic. Some of the top talent, the best artists, and he knocked it out of the park. Let me tell you, Usher, Raymond has still got it. Yes, he does. So did you see that meme over the weekend? Watch this.
I did not, no.
You don't know what I'm talking
Who's
about?
Who's Usher? I'm kidding this time. I'm kidding
yes,
this time.
B-Mac, you when he was like, before, these
yeah,
are
I
my
I didn't really know what it meant, but I saw that. Yeah, I saw that all weekend.
I thought it was funny.
Okay. Usher, still, I guess, relevant.
Yeah, still relevant.
That's cool.
It's not our music.
What was the song that he sang?
These are my... Well, he sang a lot, but I think that one was
These
Are My Confessions. Just when I thought I said all I can say, my chick on the side, so she got one on the way.
Okay.
Do you know that song?
No.
No! What?
I'm hearing this.
You might be thinking about Yeah. Are you thinking about Yeah with Little John on it?
Am I?
No. Oh. Paul, he's trying to think of a
Wait,
of
Usher's
song.
In that song?
Yeah. That's his song.
What?
No, that's Little John. I thought it was just Little John saying, yeah, and there's some random background voice
or
something.
It's Usher, Ludacris, and John.
No way.
Yeah.
Usher is...
Ludacris is in that too?
Usher's the main guy in the song.
Oh, yeah, Ludacris is in that.
Usher sings the song. Usher sings the whole song, and then Little John raps.
That's
And then
else.
Ludacris, take that, rewind it back. Little John got the beat to make your booty go. Take that, rewind it back. Usher got the voice to make your booty go.
Oh.
He says his name.
Yeah,
I'll
be honest.
Whoa.
This is like my very, I'm just old moment. I can't remember anything by Usher.
You're younger than I am, Paul.
You can't remember an Usher song?
I can't.
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top cruising the street.
No,
nothing.
Everything I'm thinking of turns into R. Kelly. And then I think about the R. Kelly documentary and I'm like, oh my God. Everything.
Not the same.
I was like, no, he doesn't sing he does not sing the remix to Ignition. That's R. Kelly.
It is.
Yeah. Anyway.
Not the same.
This has been Paul Knows Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tune in tomorrow.
R. Kelly,
this is going to be a weekly benchmark.
Yeah. I mean, I'm stunned. Usher sings Yeah is something I didn't think I'd hear.
I don't know.
He does. Terry McLaurin, huge contract. Signed a 3-year extension worth up to $71 million in new money that places him among the NFL's top 5 highest paid wide receivers. Shout out to Exclusive Sports Group. My guy, Buddy Baker, an agent over there, got the deal done. It's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of cash, and it makes me wonder. And I know that you're not the biggest Carson Wentz fan because of your experience with him in Indianapolis. I think most people should be out on Carson Wentz. But I do think it is important to note that Terry McLaurin will be the best wide receiver that he has worked with. For what it's worth, that is a guy who was an MVP at one point in time, and Carson Wentz was not exactly working with the creme de la creme at wide receiver in Philly, nor was he working with it in Indianapolis because T.Y. Hilton's not the same T.Y. Hilton anymore.
So you think that could help old Carson?
It could. I would not bet money on it, but if you're maybe a little bit more aggressive than me and maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know what, this could be the year that Carson Wentz has a sneaky comeback, that is a reason to do it now that the McLaurin situation is actually taken care of. What an interesting draft class that was with all those wide receivers that were taken after the first round.
Shout out to Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin.
Happy Corbin.
His real name was Baron Corbin.
Man,
real name Thomas Peacestock. He was an offensive lineman for the Colts and the Cardinals briefly, but he and Pat McAfee are going to be on SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, what's that?
It's a WWE. Wrestling, Paul.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, it's pro wrestling, WWE.
SummerSlam. Well, listen, I've been on vacation, okay? I mean, I'm sure that this was just invented for the first time while I was gone.
Pat McAfee also had a match at WrestleMania back in April.
Yeah. WrestleMania, that's the one I know. Right, because there's like only one wrestling match, like big match a year.
And he actually lost to Vince McMahon, a 73-year-old man.
Oh, damn. That's a tough look.
Who's got his own problems going on right now.
He does.
Yeah, he has a lot. Shout out to, is it his daughter that has to run
it? Yeah, yeah. His daughter, Stephanie, got put into the head seat.
Oof.
Wait, why do you
Vince keeps running himself out on TV every week?
Why? What happened? Is he starting to lose it?
He and someone else in his management team was alleged to make hush payments to keep a lady they had some fun time with quiet on her way out.
Oh, all right,
not great, Bob.
Sounds on brand.
Who would you want to, if you'd have two celebrities do a SummerSlam? Who would you have?
Usher and Elvis.
God bless America. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, are the Astros from 2017 to now having the best run ever by a Houston sports team? Let us know what you think. But first, Paul, our cultured friend is going to tell you about
cultured.
TIN.
You know who else is cultured, unlike me? The Passive Investor Network, baby. You want to make some money? You know, you want to go on some trips to Boston, to Puerto Rico? Well, you know what helps? Have a little money that you get from real estate investing. And that's what my friends at the Passive Investor Network can help you with. They personalize a 5-year plan for you so that you can make money through real estate. How do they do it? Well, they go around town. They look for parts of towns that they think are on the rise. They buy properties there and they flip them and they make them beautiful. And you could be a part of that actual process. If you want to see it for yourself, go on the bus tours. PassiveInvestor.net is where you do it. Promo code ESPN. Again, promo code ESPN at PassiveInvestor.net. They'll drive you around town. They will show you the before, the after. Sometimes it's right next to each other, and my God, you will be blown away by some of the things that you see. The Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net is where you go, and the promo code ESPN. Again, PassiveInvestor.net. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN. 97.5.